shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
Hey, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number is, well, forget about our number. Well, I guess we could give our number, 877-876-PHIL.
Well, we're doing a news and information hour, but also we do have a special call-in.
A special call-in?
Yeah, well, R.C. Cohen, the Bradley Military Academy, he is going to be speaking about the Rand Paul II.
Well, we have two guests on that?
Yeah.
All right, so we'll have R.C. Collins from Bradley Military Academy speaking about the Rand Paul detainment, which, by the way, Bradley Military Academy, located in Altadena, California, and that is the city in which the great Johnny Otis was residing when he passed on last week, and we did our little Johnny Otis. You know, I don't know why, but I went on YouTube, and I guess I was looking for some Johnny Otis material to use in this audiovisual sort of homage we did to him before the show on Friday, and I came across some of the craziest stuff, man. I came across a live television show that was done locally here in Los Angeles in 1958. It was a music show hosted by Johnny Otis. He had his band.
That's the one that did get the...
Hold on, bud. Don't hit the microphone, man. You know.
Yeah, man. What are you trying to do?
Just because I'm trying to get out of your way, you fat ass.
Why, you lousy stick.
Hey.
Call me fat ass.
Standing in the way.
Hey, bud, when you want to say something, man, don't go barreling ass past me and everybody else and bumping the mic. I heard that, you know. You're like, you can hear the mic getting bumped.
Yeah.
Well, don't do it. Understand?
Yeah, but he was in the way.
I don't give a damn if he's in the way. He's standing there. That's where he wants to be. That's where he gets to be. You're going to have to go around him. I guess your big opinion about whatever isn't going to get expressed.
All you want to talk about is the 3 pounds of joy.
What an idiot, man. They call it 3 pounds of joy. Call it 3 tons of joy.
No.
Oh, what are you, balling?
Yeah, because all you're talking about is 3 pounds of joy.
He's an idiot, man. I'm telling you. 3 tons of joy.
I know it's the 3 tons of joy. What are you, nuts?
No, it said 3 pounds.
They were three big fat ladies. Were they not three big fat ladies?
Yeah.
Hold on, Robert. I got it. Were they three big fat ladies?
Yeah.
Does it make sense to say it was called Marie Adams? Was that her name?
Yeah, Marie Adams at 3 pound of joy.
But does it make sense that the lady is there, Marie Adams and the 3 pounds of joy, when the three women themselves are huge?
I don't know.
He belched, man.
Do you have to belch?
What are you all doing, telling on me?
I don't have to tell on you, man. You belch right in front of everybody.
Would you guys knock it off before I start to belt myself? I'm gonna kill myself. I'm gonna punch myself to death. I've threatened to beat you guys up. That won't work. I'm gonna beat myself up. What do you think of that?
Be pretty cool to see.
Yeah.
Get out of here. It's the 3 tons of joy.
I misread it.
Misread it, uh-huh. Anyway, the whole reason why I brought it up is because I thought it was so awesome. I'm looking at this, and I wish I could tell you the story that a friend of mine said to me on Twitter about a live show. He's older than me, and he remembered watching a live show in Los Angeles back in the 50s that had the car commercials were huge out here, as I'm sure they were everywhere where everyone was growing up back in those days. And even those of you who are younger, obviously automobile commercials are always big. The local dealer, you know, hey, friends, this is so-and-so, come on down to such and, you know, down here, the local dealer. In L.A., man, it was at a high level of real art. I mean, in the middle of the Johnny Otis show comes the dude from Metropolitan Ford at Figaro and Pico in L.A., and he's doing a whole car pitch. And they've even got the group singers that were singing live then would segue into a Metropolitan Ford jingle. The whole thing was just nuts. So anyway, I'm looking at this. I said, wow, you know, that this was a local show and that it was produced in such a beautiful way. And they had Johnny Otis was the host and they had Lionel Hampton was the special guest. Now, that's a pretty heavy hitter. But as it turns out, Lionel Hampton was in town. He was at a club down in... and then they were doing it. Says, tonight we're going to be at the Crescendo, and then we're going to be at the Nightlife, or the Nightlight, all these bars and jazz clubs in the late 50s in Los Angeles that he was rapping about. It was just amazing. So my friend says, yeah, that ain't nothing. You should have seen what happened overnight with this car commercial. I said, what? He said, a guy comes on, And he says, come on down here to Joe's Ford. And here is a very happy customer. And what is your name, sir? Well, my name is William so-and-so. And the guy that he's talking to is a black man. And there's a very happy guy. And your name is William? Yes, it is. And did you buy a Ford here at Cresco Ford, whatever the hell it is? I certainly did, and I'm really happy. Well, that's great. Thank you very much, sir. So there you go, folks. Now, here it comes. We just sold a Ford to a N-word.
No. They said that?
Yes. Yes. Yes, they did on live television in the city of Los Angeles in the 50s. Now, I don't know what the... I asked my friend, what was the fallout? He said, they sold more Fords, which, ha, 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 I get it. But that's not really the punchline there, man. I mean, if you want to call it a punchline, but what the hell?
That was the time you could say that stuff, man, and nobody do nothing, huh?
Well, this cat comes, he says, and he's got just a customer. And here is Mr., you know, just like they used to do, you know. Well, we just sold a Ford to a N, and then he busts out the N-word. And I said to my friend, I go, well, what was the fallout? And his joke came back, they sold more Fords, which that was the joke, but what was the fallout? I'll tell you the name of the show. I'll tell you the name of the show. Well, the show had something called Rocket, The Rocket or something Rocket. And it was on overnight, and they used to have these. Now, I don't remember them because I'm not quite old enough to remember those. I remember L.A. television when it was still had, you know, Chucko the Clown and all that bull crap for kids. But I said the earliest guy I remember was Sheriff John. But all of these crazy shows, man, live television overnight. They used to haul a camera around Los Angeles, and it was called City at Night. It was Channel 5 did it, and it was on overnight, midnight to 6. And they had a camera in a mobile truck, and they went all over the city all night long, setting up this camera, interviewing people in cafes. Then they go down to Skid Row, and literally, and talk to the homeless alcoholics. And, of course, in those days, I guess they called them, you know, well, we're down here. There's, you know, some guys down on their luck down here. You've been down on your luck, huh, Mac? Yeah, I've been down on my luck for a little while. Let's hope you get back on your feet. That's how they used to say it. And
what's that mean?
They didn't, in other words, they didn't say homeless. They didn't say homeless. They didn't quite say hobo.
What about tramp?
No, they're not going to say tramp. I think it was something like, yeah, guy's down on his luck, you know. And then they would take the camera and they would go to, you know, then just anywhere, man. And it was all experimental, all very experimental. They didn't quite know what they wanted to do, but they had these cameras and they had this ability to go anywhere they wanted. And I'll tell you what, they captured some heavy stuff, man. I'll never forget, I'm sitting there, and I don't know, man, maybe I couldn't have been more than like 10 or 11 years old, and I'm watching TV. It's a Saturday morning, my kid's sister and I. And the guy's standing there, and he says, hi, everybody, this is the Channel 5 news guy, whatever the hell his name was. Yeah, Channel 5 was fantastic. They still are. They're probably the best local news TV station in L.A. And he says, and behind me, you see this dam. I want to say the Baldwin Park or Baldwin Hills Dam, but I probably got it wrong. And the camera goes, and there's a dam. And you see this little crack in the dam. And there's water spilling down this crack. Well, that's all the people had to see, because they're in there. And the camera says, you can see all these residents, and they're all leaving. And this guy stayed where he was because they had a perfect vantage point, and they stayed on the air with this crack in the dam for the whole bloody day, man, because I sat there like some, you know, like a kid would. I'm just like, man, I can't wait to see this thing go. I mean, you know.
It must have been pretty bitching, huh?
Well, I mean, for a kid, yeah, until you start thinking, oh, my God, those are people's houses down there, you know.
Yeah, but you don't care when you're a kid.
When I was a kid, I didn't give a damn, no, but now I'm thinking what a cheap punk little kid I was. Anyway.
You're gonna beat yourself up.
Take it easy, bud. No, I'm not beating myself up. Anyway, the guy's all, and for hours he's just, and we're here, Channel 5 has been here all day long, as you can tell, and they're getting people out of these houses. There it is. Just one camera's all they had, and maybe they had another, but I think they only had one camera. And there's this crack's getting bigger in the dam, and it's getting bigger. And I watched before my eyes. I got to remember, where is this, where this took place, but gradually the crack gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger until finally, he says, any minute now, ladies and gentlemen, this is going to be one hell of a deal, and we're so thankful everybody's out of, you know, and finally, boom, man, I mean, the dam comes apart, and a wall of water like you've never seen before in your life. Because understand, this dam was hundreds of feet above the homes. And you got to ask yourself, what the hell were they building houses down in the spillway of this, you know, this dam? I don't get it. But man, when that thing busted open and the water came pouring down, it was the most amazing thing I've ever seen in my life. And you remember the tsunamis, the tsunami pictures from Japan?
Yeah, did it look like that?
That's exactly what it looked like, man, except it was contained in a small little valley. But the houses were literally lifted right off of their foundations, man, as this water came right down. And, of course, Los Angeles has a history of dam disasters. There was one that the Mulholland himself took, old man Mulholland, who was the water guy in L.A. for years, he took responsibility for this and said, this was my fault. You know, the engineering was wrong, and everything.
Yeah, like that movie Chinatown.
No, Chinatown is bullcrap. It got nothing to do with anything, man. They made that whole thing up. But yeah, I know they tried to make it sound like it, but it was bullcrap. Anyway, to see that, it reminded me of the tsunami. Is this wall of water came down, and literally suddenly you saw houses moving and just getting, I mean, houses just getting washed right down this thing. Craziest thing to see live, a local TV station covering this, and just preempting all of their programming for it. No wonder people in this city consider Channel 5 to be the go-to station. You would think that one of the networks, but KTLA, man, that's like the go-to news station in L.A., because I think it's just for years and years and years, people know that those guys have always gone out and gotten it, man.
Do they got no pictures of it or anything?
They must have pictures. They must. They must have video of it. I just can't remember the name of it. I can't remember the name of the dam. I don't remember the year. I just remember watching this, you know, as it took place, and it was pretty amazing. All right, do we have your friend RC, or what's going on?
Yeah, I got him on line 3.
All right, RC Collins is going to come up and talk a little bit more about the Rand Paul detainment. This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show here, and we'll be right back, and we're on philhendryshow.com as well, so join us.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and online at philhendryshow.com. We've got Phil TV and HD cranked up right now, and we are showing some video and some film. I found it thanks to Dan Northcraft, our engineer, who said, why don't you just put into YouTube Baldwin Hills Dam Disaster and channel KTLA, and I did, and bang, I found it. And we've been showing on Phil TV and HD this is all Channel 5 film footage. This is what I saw when I was a kid, man. You can see the water now just pouring down on top of these houses. What started out as a little tiny, it seemed like a little tiny crack in the dam, turned into a chasm, an enormous rift, and the whole bloody thing just came apart. And the houses got hit and flooded out, and oh, man, just a very, very bad scene there. R.C. Collins joining us from Bradley Military Academy in Altadena, California. R.C., how are you doing?
I'm doing...
R.C., you there?
Yes, sir. I'm doing really good, Mr. Henry. Thank you for having us on, and thanks for allowing us to comment on a pretty important situation.
You're a junior in... A junior at the Bradley Military Academy there, which is a military academy, and I've always heard it said, and maybe I'm wrong, that our military should not have too many comments to make, you know, on these things. What is your opinion?
Well, I think it's important when you have a United States Congress man like Rand Paul, who is using the security of America to to boost his dad up and to do a promotion for his dad. And the military has pretty much been in support of Ron Paul. If you look at a lot of the polls that he's done, the military's been pretty much in support of Ron Paul. But when his kid does what he did, then you gotta pretty much say all bets are off now.
Okay, well, the military has done a lot of things, RC, over the years. You're talking about, I mean, in terms of opinion, I'm sure that there are a lot of different opinions in the United States military. When you say the military supports Ron Paul, what do you mean?
Well, I mean, if you look at the polls that have been done of the military members who are voters of Ron Paul.
Hold on, you got to back off your phone there.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
When you look at the numbers of the members of the military who vote for Ron Paul and who are say they're going to vote for Ron Paul, you know, and
all right, so what does that mean with this Rand Paul detainment, Rand Paul refusing a pat down?
Well, I think it takes for granted the support of the military for Ron Paul when the kid is going through an airport and decides to make a spectacle of himself by refusing to submit and to do the bidding of the TSA.
Well, to submit and do the bidding of the TSA.
Well, I don't find it funny, sir.
Yeah, I know. I just the way you put it.
What is funny?
When you say that Rand Paul did not submit and do the bidding of the TSA, I found that funny.
I see. Are you referring to it being a like some kind of a predatory gay relationship, or
it was the way that you said it? Therefore, what? Therefore, you feel manipulated, or therefore you feel used?
Yes, sir. I think that that pretty well says it, because if it is true that the military tends to vote for Ron Paul and his kid made a spectacle in order to get his dad's name in the newspaper, then we do feel that it badly uses the military and makes, you know, it badly uses us and makes us look, you know, I don't know the word, like you look like a boob, like your boob.
You look foolish.
Well, yeah, you look foolish, yeah. And I was going to say boobish, but...
You look foolish if you're voting for Ron Paul while he's manipulating you into the vote. Why do you say that this is a manipulation? Why couldn't it simply have been a political statement by Rand Paul that he doesn't like the TSA?
I think there's a couple of reasons. Number one, if you don't want to be patted down, then you would have taken more care in what you were trying to walk onto the airplane with, so it didn't trigger off the body scanner. And he didn't do that. He obviously must have left something on his person that required them to do a pat down, and he could then cause a scene and say that, you know, I don't want to be patted down. Oh yeah, what's your name? My name's Rand Paul. Oh yeah, you're the son. Yeah. And so then it gets into the newspaper, and it also makes the TSA look, you know, foolish, too.
You are attributing to Rand Paul a great deal of calculation here in getting his father's name in the press. Do you think his dad really needs that assistance?
Well, yeah. I mean, his father right now is not doing good. Romney and Newt Romney are doing better than him. And
you mean Mitt Romney?
Newt Romney or Mitt Romney?
Yeah, Mitt Romney, Newt Gingrich.
That Newt Gingrich is doing better than her. So
is doing better than her?
Is doing better than him. You're talking about Rand Paul.
That's what you're talking about. We're talking about the guy today.
Yeah, Rand Paul. Because I was thinking about Michelle Bachmann, and I thought she had a problem too, but I don't know.
Well, she may have a problem. She may have a number of problems, but one of her problems was not, I don't think, having anything to do with TSA.
Well, you know, and that's probably why Mrs. Bachmann dropped out of the race, because she was not willing to you know, do the bidding of the TSA just to get Rand or Ron Paul's name in the press.
I don't understand how she would get Ron Paul's name in the press if she refused to do the bidding of the TSA.
That she would, or, well, I don't know, but a lot.
All right, thank you very much. We'll be back, Phil Hendry Show.
Saying to me that, oh, hello.
Phil Hendry.
Doing the bidding of the TSA, but I wouldn't.
I don't know where these people are. I got a hold of another little clip here on Phil TV and HD. It looks like they're off the coast of California, huh?
Yeah, that's what it looked like.
Oh, well, I don't know why. This is a tidal wave. That's not, it can't be California. But they're, these people are on a sailboat, and their boat has weathered an enormous swell. And it says 2011 on the film, but that one would have to conclude was the Japanese tsunami that was coming from Japan, either from Japan or toward the west coast of the U.S., or these people are right off the coast of Japan and are feeling very moderate effects of this tidal wave. They're on a sailboat, and so the bobbing and the weaving that they're doing on their sailboat is nothing. It's not serious. They're having to weather some big swells, but there's nothing that's drowning them, you know?
That is like a big, huge wave.
What do you mean?
But they're not crashing over top.
No, it's not crashing over top of them. In other words, they're far enough out in the ocean where the tidal wave itself is being registered by them on their sailboat as just this big swell. Now, did they capsize? There's all of a sudden the camera went sideways. Maybe they capsized. That's pretty whack, man. So maybe they did capsize, but nonetheless, it's... If I saw a tidal wave coming toward me, I would scream and cry and call for my mama, you know?
I would, too.
What are you talking about, man? I'd be brave.
Oh, okay. Well, good for you, bud. You know, I'm just saying, if I saw a tidal wave, if I saw a water spout, I would weep like a girl and hide under the blankets. Okay? I just said it.
Wow. What an admission to make.
I just said it.
You really would?
Yes, I would. Yes, I would. If I saw a water spout or a tidal wave coming at me, I'd weep, hide under the blankets, but first make sure that I had enough panties to last me through the week.
So you're admitting that you'd be a big girl about it?
Yes. What more can I say?
Man, you're doing that on the radio, man, all your fans and everything?
I don't care. You want me to lie? You want me to sit here and lie and say to my fans, oh, yeah, sure. Tidal wave comes to me, man. I tell you what I'd do. I'd stare it down, man, and scare it back into the ocean.
That's what Chuck Norris would do.
Chuck Norris. Boy, those Chuck Norris jokes. I would do a Chuck Norris. I would look at the tidal wave, stare at it, and scare it so much that it would just stop and then go back to Japan. I don't think so, man. I've had dreams about tidal waves. I've had dreams. I don't think they were triggered by the tidal waves because I know how to swim. That's not the problem. Swimming is not the problem. It's the enormity of this water overwhelming everything. For some reason has this, and you know how there are things, I don't want to get too heavy here, but you know how there are archetypes, they say, that psychologists tell us that mother is a huge archetype in the mind of all human beings. Snakes, a fire, you know, we are all fascinated by fire. I wonder if I don't know, but was there something, even if you don't believe in the biblical story of the deluge, even if you don't believe in Noah's Ark, was there some cataclysmic flood that registers in the deepest subconscious of humans that is archetypal, meaning that it was a shared memory that all human beings shared?
Well, I mean, if they talk about Noah, why, what do you mean it didn't exist? That's a Bible.
Yeah, that's the word of God, man. Everybody know that.
Does everybody know that? Well, I'm sorry. I guess I...
Well, what are you saying? You don't believe in it?
I'm not saying I believe in exactly Noah, no.
What are you talking about? Didn't
it? But they're in the Bible.
I know it's in the... Are you guys going to get crazy on me? I know it's in the Bible. I'm sorry, I don't believe that Noah went out and found two ants and two worms.
Yes, he did, because it says so.
Hey, bud, we're just going to have to agree to disagree on that one. But I will give you this. I will give you this. Something happened. Now, I don't believe in world events. This bull crap about how a meteor hit and killed all the dinosaurs sounded like horse dung when I first heard it. And now the scientists are coming up with alternate theories because they are realizing they're finding dinosaur bones below the strata of that black carbon that they say was this meteor event. Meaning the dinosaurs were dying before this thing hit. And so now they're coming up with a theory that perhaps disease or some kind of epidemic disease killed the dinosaurs. Okay. So I don't believe in this, you know, one meteor and the whole world goes to hell in a handcart, because what happened out in that Russian force I was telling you guys about?
Yeah, well, you said that was a comet.
Doesn't make any difference, man. Some huge thing hit in Russia in 1908 out in the forest, flattened all those trees. It was enormous. It was like a nuclear blast. It came from space. They say it was a comet or some type of meteorite. That didn't change the environment of the Earth. That didn't do diddly squat. All it did was, I mean, people heard it, and it freaked out a bunch of these poor guys that were living in Siberia, you know, hunting elk meat. And all of a sudden, you know, they were running for their lives.
Was that Russian you just done?
No, man. It was some guttural thing I did. Anyway.
What do you mean? They're hunting elk meat?
Whatever they're doing out there, man. I don't know what they're doing. They could be doing anything.
There's nothing but snow out there. That's Siberia. Everybody know that.
I know it's Siberia. Do you think nobody lives there?
No. Yeah, well, how can people live out in Siberia?
Are you crazy or something? Everybody lives everywhere, man. There's no place other than Antarctica.
Okay, that's one place.
Fine. Siberia's got people in it. Siberia's got lots of people in it. It's got people in it that know how to live out there. You can't just take some city dude and stick his ass in Siberia. He'll freeze up like a popsicle, man. But you got the people that live out there.
Yeah, on account of they're wearing animal skins and everything like that.
Well, yeah. I mean, they know how to stay warm and they know how to live out there. Siberia was just like this place where they put all those gulags, the Russians. I mean, the commies. You know, they take some poor guy that was a writer living in Moscow with central heat and drinking coffee down at the cafe and, you know, living life in a city, and you stick his ass in the middle of Siberia, that's about the end of that. But anyway, that's where that thing happened, man. And there wasn't any internet, you know, animal life didn't die off, you know, and everything was cool. So that's a load. That's a load. I don't believe in a global event. No way, no freaking way. I believe stuff happened. I believe, dinosaurs died, all that jazz. Now you come to the modern times here, and floods. Now, this whole thing about Noah's flood, you can believe in that, but I'm not here to knock anybody's religion. I believe, though, that there probably have been significant flood events that have impressed themselves into the minds of human beings, because floods freak us out. I can just tell that it is a major fear, like we have a fire. So I think...
You think like a human race got drowned up or something?
Yeah, well, that's what happened with Noah.
Not the whole human race. But I had these dreams of after a couple of those, well, like the tsunami in the in India, I had these dreams of being in a very high apartment. And I was with my family. My father was alive, my mother was alive, and everybody was there. And my dad was there, and I looked at my dad, and I saw, and we're in this penthouse apartment that is way above everything. It's way above the ocean. And when you're first there, you think, oh, wow, what a cool ocean view we have, right? But I see the water rising, and now the water has risen all the way to the level of the windows. And I say to my dad, I said, Dad, we got to get out of here. And the next thing I know, we're all in the water floating. You know,
did anybody drown?
No, nobody drowned. Nobody. There was no tragedy like that in the dream. But what was tough about the dream was that suddenly my whole family is out with everybody else, by the way, the whole people that lived there. And then I am in this water. I turn around. I don't turn around, but I turn in the water, and I swim toward an area where suddenly the flood is gone, and I'm in on a city street where there's a liquor store and restaurants.
What? Dude, did you have that dream after you'd been eating a mushroom, a psilocybin mushroom?
Shut up, psilocybin. No, I did not.
Sounds pretty freaky to me.
Well, it's a dream. What do you think? It's going to make sense?
Did it make sense to you?
It scared the hell out of me. It scared the hell out of me. That's the kind of nightmare I have. Those are my nightmares. I don't know about anybody else. I have nightmares where, you know, all of a sudden this enormous water is going to swallow me up. And anyway, but when I turned around, I was on dry land, and all I remember, I was on dry land, and it was just a regular city with cars going back and forth, and I just kind of walked out of this water like you walk out of the surf. And I felt at that moment like, okay, cool, I survived, and everything's going to be okay. But I was now sort of in this urban landscape. I'd lost track of my family. I'd lost track of everybody, and I was in the middle of maybe, I don't know, man. Maybe it was a dream about what happened to me in my childhood or something.
What? Did you get in a flood?
No, I didn't get in a flood. It was my family split up, you know, and if I think about that dream, I think about my family splitting up, and then there I am in the world just making my way, because that's kind of what the dream was.
So you're in a flood.
I'm going to kick some ass here in a minute. No, I wasn't in a flood. It's symbolic. You understand?
Just kidding around.
So you were in a flood. Anyway, so...
This has been Phil's Dream Journal.
Yeah, tune in next week for another exciting dream.
All right, we'll be back. Let's take a break, okay? Let's do something.
Go to the bathroom.
World famous Phil Hendry Show here. It's our news and information hour. Yes, we'll take a bathroom break. We'll take a Coca-Cola break, too. Get myself a sip of coffee. Turkish fury at French vote on Armenian genocide law. It doesn't sound sexy. It doesn't sound interesting. It really doesn't, but I'll make it interesting. I'll make it sexy. Maybe not. We have other news here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, why don't you shut up?
I'm serious.
Hey, bud, you know something, man? If, you know, you think I'm the devil, then you go ahead and you tell your grandmother that or whoever you're talking to.
My aunt is a very devout Christian. A lot of stuff you're saying is anti-Christian.
Yeah.
I think both of you guys are really goofy. What's wrong with me saying stuff, man? I'm not being anti-Christian. What the hell?
You're talking about being a reincarnated person?
No, I did not say that. No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did. You talk about it with Dan.
I said to him that one of the theories about deja vu is that reincarnation, that we are remembering a life.
What about the Hindus, what you were saying?
Oh, I was talking about Hindus.
Shut up.
Ooh.
Shut up.
Ooh, bud. Better go run and tell your grandmother. Phil was talking about Hindus.
Yeah, but you were talking about them.
What is this, communist Russia? I can't talk about Hindus?
Well, it's not Christian or anything.
So it's not Christian. I'm not putting down Christians. I ain't saying nothing bad about Christians. I'm talking about Hindus. God, man.
Yeah, that ain't bad, bud. It's only if you talking about you think the universe, like people got reincarnated like as an elephant or something.
I didn't say people got reincarnated as an elephant. You guys are too dumb to get into these conversations with. That's what I'm finally coming to a conclusion about. You know that?
Maybe.
Maybe, yeah. No, it's true. So here's what I suggest you guys do. You know, if you just ain't smart enough to hang with me on some of this stuff, just don't say anything and just listen, okay?
Yeah, but if you say anti-Christian things...
Bud, I'm telling you for the last time, you ain't smart enough. Just because I'm talking about Hindus believing in multiple universes and all of that jazz, and you think, ooh, I better go tell my grandma, you know?
I didn't say grandma.
Well, that's the effect of it. It's not anti-Christian. I'm talking to Dan, by the way. It's none of your business, so why don't you guys butt out?
Yeah, but I mean, you were saying to him about, what do you call it, Big Rip?
You see, you cats are taking little bits of information, you're putting it all together, and you got Phil the atheist. I said that the theory goes the universe is headed for a big rip.
Like a fart.
Get it.
Uh-huh.
Get out of here. Turkish fury at French vote on Armenian genocide law. Dateline Turkey. Turkey has reacted with anger after the French Senate approved a bill making it a crime to deny genocide was committed by Ottoman Turks against Armenians during World War I. The Turkish Foreign Ministry branded the decision irresponsible and threatened swift retaliatory measures. Armenia says that up to 1.5 million people died in 1915-1916 as the Ottoman Empire split. Turkey rejects the term genocide and says the number was much smaller. The bill will now be sent to President Nicolas Sarkozy to be signed into law, which he's expected to do before the end of February. Sarkozy is a conservative. This is an issue that is dear to the hearts of a great many liberal people, liberal voters, thinkers, politicians. I will give you the historical read in just a moment.
Right after this word.
No. Correspondents say the move threatens to cause a serious rift between France and Turkey. Oh, no, not that. Well, I shouldn't know. That is bad, because they're both NATO allies. How come Turkey's a NATO ally? Oh, that's right. Turkey got into NATO. I don't know, man. That's a scary move there.
Yeah, you don't know you're going to trust them.
Those Turkey guys in NATO, they'll turn around and stick a shank in your back, sure as your sister's name is Sally.
No kidding.
France opened a black page in its history, said Volkan Bozkir, head of the Turkey thing, to Parliament's Foreign Affairs Committee on Twitter. Turkey's ambassador to France, Tashin Bugulu. What the hell are these names, man?
Let me see that.
Guy's name is Tashin Bugulu. Yeah, let me see.
Get out of here. Let me see. Bugulu.
Well, look at it, man.
T-A-S-H-I-N. No, no, T-A-H-S-I-N, B-U-R-C-U-O-G-L-U, Berkuglu.
Yeah, I'd go with that.
Thank you. Said the vote could cause a total rupture of relations between the two countries. The foreign ministry statement hinted that the decision was influenced by looming presidential elections in France. An estimated 500,000 ethnic Armenians live in the country. Well, naturally, they'd say that. Here's the whole thing with what happened in the Turkish Ottoman Empire as the First World War was coming to an end, as the empire of the Ottomans was finally coming to an end, 500, 600 years of Turkish Ottoman rule, an empire that had extended all across the Middle East, an empire that was, well, it was an empire. And if you think of who we were fighting in World War I, we were fighting three empires. We were fighting the German Empire, which had been recently created out of all of those little former Holy Roman Empire states. We were fighting the Austrian-Hungarian Empire, which was a worthless bag of bones, and the Ottoman Turks, which was pretty much the same thing. Turkey was losing the war. They were losing badly to the British. They needed to throw up some rail lines. They needed to put into place a variety of utilitary things like rail lines. I believe there was an oil pipeline involved. But what they had to do in their mind was to move the native population the hell out of there. And they decided to put these rail lines, oil lines, and so forth through that area of the empire where Armenians live. Now, you can make a case, and it's a good case, and I happen to believe it, that the Ottoman Turks said, you know, what is it, Armenians up there? Yeah, who gives us sweet Jesus? Put the freaking thing through there. We don't give a damn about them. Well, sir, we're going to be displaced. That's fine. We'll be displacing their ass. Get them out of there. I think that's what happened. Was it them saying, aha, now we can butcher up a bunch of Armenians? And I don't think it was. I think what it was a horrible, horrible, horrible act of governmental administrative murder, or if you will, dereliction is a better word, that caused the deaths of these hundreds of thousands of people. If you don't want to go with a million and a half, okay, hundreds of thousands, it's still a brutal butchering. And now, was it an intentional genocide? I mean, to the extent that it was like a government-sanctioned and very well-run and bureaucratic butchering of people like the Germans did to the Nazis? I mean, like the Germans did to the Jews? Not quite. I mean, the Germans had that down to a science. This was more, we got to get some stuff done. Let's do it right through where the Armenians live, because who gives a damn what happens to them? And so they forced these people out of there. They starved. They froze to death. It was horrible. So it happened, man. If you don't want to call it genocide, you don't have to call it that. We can just call it absolute criminal dereliction by the Turkish government. And why am I always leaving people on a bummer?
I don't know. Let's talk a little bit more about that meteorite that blew up all the dinosaurs.
Blewed up the dinosaurs. World-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by me, Phil Hendry, with assistance from the very fine and substantial and marvelous Dan Northcraft. And, of course, our video cast as well, produced by me, Phil Hendry. Thank you very much, guys, for being with us. We'll see you tonight here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and Phil TV in HD. And don't forget to join us on our website, philhendryshow.com, for our video cast, which will be up tomorrow morning, a podcast tomorrow as well, and our show log right after the show ends. Tune in tomorrow, the pre-show, more news.
Phil Hendry.
More Hollywood news.